So welcome back to the Coaches Club and the Parent Success System for 2014. It's our first Thursday afternoon 1 o'clock call for the year 2014. So it's exciting to get going, and we have a great and large group today. So I want to start with check-ins about how things have been going for the last couple of weeks. Just a an update or check-in from the last call we had. We were talking about asking for help, and the holidays was certainly a great opportunity to work on that. So just a quick touch base about, what's working or what's not, and then we'll move into identifying what challenge you want to work on. So anybody who wants to start?
This is Christy from Texas. I will start. I'm just celebrating asking help from the school. That's always challenging, but the school we're at this year has just been a huge blessing. And I just found out yesterday my son is actually getting Student of the Month, which I never in my life would have dreamed would happen for him. So,
oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Super celebration. Who else?
This is Valerie. We have been focused the last 2 weeks on getting up and getting going in the morning on their own. Boys are 7 and 9, and they got Kindles for Christmas. And so on that, we've placed an alarm clock, and one is responding very well to that alarm and the other not so well. So we're still working, but we've had some snow days in here too, so it's kind of been off schedule. So,
well, if I remember, you had to get them up to go to work with you during the break, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
So that really helps from the standpoint that, we're still pretty consistent from our morning routine, but staying up a little later has made it a little bit harder to get up in the mornings when they didn't have school every morning. So,
yeah, it's been hard here, too. I can totally relate. Cool. All right. So so one of the kids still is successful with the Kindle, and one of them, there's still some tweaking to do there. Where does
he get? That's right.
Not be the best system.
But the one that's not getting up well with the alarm is the one that, once you get him out of bed, does really good at getting going. So
great.
That kind of surprised me.
Interesting. All right. So maybe that he needs a different kind of stimulation to get going.
Yep, that's right.
For now. Okay. All right, who else? Who wants
this is Joelle.
Go
ahead.
I'll go for it. Go for it.
Oh, okay. We were working kind of on Cade's, for lack of a better word, kind of spazzy behavior in the home. And it was going pretty well for a while, but we're back to kind of chaos, just physical motion chaos. Mm-hmm. And, we've been trying, different, getting him to do push-ups and squishing him and activity, and it doesn't seem like he's responding. So sometimes I wonder if it's diet related over the holidays, having more treats and cookies. I don't know.
Exactly what I was wondering too. I was, the first question I had was, did he eat a lot of sugar over the holidays or a lot of diet?
Yeah. I mean, I still tried to limit it, and my mother-in-law sent some cookies, and some of them had red frosting on them, and I hid those ones because I've heard that he had the green ones instead. I don't know. So, and he also just moved to a new classroom. He's in the classroom that has two teachers instead of one, and it wasn't as smooth a transition as I'd hoped for. I thought the novelty would really, hook him in, but he's kind of refusing to participate in activities, and I don't know. It hasn't been terribly.
This sounds like we'll come back to it. But it sounds like you're sort of moving into trying to figure out what you want to work on. So just sort of think on that.
Yes.
We'll pop back.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody else have a challenge or something you want to share?
This is Elizabeth.
Go ahead.
Somebody else want to go?
No, go for it. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, speaking of getting kids up and school and all that, my 12-year-old son is still in bed. He refused to get up this morning. School started yesterday, And he went back to school, and he had a good day, much better than when he was staying home. When he was getting extremely moody, just staying at home. So I expected the worst yesterday, but when he got home from school, he had had a very good day. But today, he couldn't get up, and he's gotten too physically large for me to be able to get him up and out of bed by himself. So he's asleep in bed.
Okay. That's got to be incredibly frustrating.
Actually, no, I'm not all that frustrated right now. It's just that it's, you know, later on it's going to, you know, cause a backup. He's going to have to make up work and so on and so forth.
Great. Well, natural consequences sometimes coming from the external world can be just what you need.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also understand. He said he had pain in his feet all night and he couldn't sleep, which he frequently has. And so, you know, he needs to sleep. So I'm always in a conundrum about, you know, allowing him to do what I think is best as opposed to what the world wants him to do.
Yeah. Good. Good for you. It's an important thing to continue to truly. So anybody else move into topic? How did, generally speaking, asking for help over the holidays, did you try it? Did it work? Did it help? Did it not? What did you notice? Just one or two more comments, and then we'll move on. Or we'll move on. Okay. So let's start with identifying what it is that you want to focus on in the coming 2 weeks. Our topic for today is managing triggers, so that may help you consider what you want to focus on, and we'll talk more about it in a little bit, but it's about, you know, us being triggered and our kids being triggered, and particularly when both happen at the same time, that can be a recipe for disaster. So what do you want to be focusing on for yourself and your family in the next couple of weeks? And again, just remind you to bottom line it because we've got a full group today.
Sounds like a full and silent group to me.
It is a full and silent group. Go for it, Elizabeth. You got something you want to focus on?
Yeah. My son's anger when he gets mad when I bother him. Quote, bother him, unquote, when he's on the computer particularly. And he kind of recently has begun using the B word and the F bomb. And so, yeah, that's my trigger is what to do when he gets belligerent like that.
Okay. So the area you want to focus on is how to respond to his belligerence.
I guess that's the first step. Yeah.
Okay. Great. All right, anybody else?
I'm Cheryl.
I have a similar one. That would be a similar one.
Who just said similar one?
This is Christina.
Okay. So, Christina, looking at sort of responding to belligerent behavior or negative behavior. And, Cheryl, did I hear your voice?
Yes. My trigger is, this is perfect. It's like my daughter's, kind of acting out in public places or with other people around and how it just makes me very angry, and I want to get a handle on what to do about it. And her running around.
So help me identify, rather than identifying the trigger, help me identify what's the change you're looking to see. It's how you respond?
Well, I guess I have to change my response so that her to help her behavior change? Or certainly I would like to, because I get very angry, and I would like to change that.
Okay. So your anger response.
Yeah, I guess I'd really like to change her behavior, but I don't know. But I guess maybe I'm helping, or, you know, it's a trigger for both of us, I think.
Right. So, but when you're clear, her behavior is triggering you, and then when you get angry, that triggers back.
Yes.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
And so what do you have control over?
Just my behavior.
Okay. So we focus on that this week?
Yeah.
Okay. She says reluctantly.
Yes. Yes, yeah. I hear the reluctance.
Okay. Who else?
Elaine, this is Lindsay in Nashville. I can relate to all of the aforementioned comments, and those are things that I would like to work on as well. My daughter has many of the issues that they've talked about with extreme defiance, and the latest thing, which has been ongoing, is to continue to say, stop making comments whenever I try and give her some guidance or direction.
Mm-hmm.
So now, I mean, just cutting me off at the pass about everything, whether it's, you know, asking her, reminding her about something, telling her that she needs to do something, whatever it is now, she just says, stop making comments.
So what's the change you want to focus on in the next couple of weeks then? Is it specifically on how to respond to her or what?
Yes, I think so, because it's the catch-22 of now I really can't say anything. And it bleeds over into the then you're bothering me, and then it escalates into her calling me names and the whole and being physical as well. So it kind of is all those things everybody talked about rolled into one.
Okay. So
your daughter and my son must be twins.
Yeah, I'm getting that impression.
So the theme of the day for some people is extreme defiance.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good term for it.
Yeah.
All right, so anybody else? You don't have to say team if this is not your challenge this week, but I hear how once it shows up, it keeps showing up, doesn't it?
I think
it's
pretty much focusing on the same thing. Oh, sorry.
I think this is the challenge for all of us every week.
Yes, but the question is, do you want to do something about it this week?
Yes. Yes.
All right, so... So, Dave, is that, are you taking on this? Who else has taken on this challenge this week? Maybe I should put it that way.
I am.
I'm taking on the same challenge.
This is David again. I mean, you know, the way I kind of look at it is, you know, we all have challenges, and at least weekly, if not daily, with our children and their defiance and their, you know, comebacks that can be mean and cruel. I mean, my son's still very young and immature for his age, and you mentioned that even though they're chronologically 9 or 10, they act like they're 5 or 6 or sometimes 2 or 3. And when they say those hateful things, you don't love me anymore and I hate you and all those types of things, is learning how to react correctly and constructively instead of, you know, out of anger and, you know, holding that back and trying to figure out how to mitigate the situation and, you know, calm the child or our children or our child so that at some point you can actually go back and have a conversation with them later, because typically in the heat of the moment, that is very difficult to do. And usually it's
Beautifully put. More
destructive than it is constructive. So, you know, it's just kind of figuring out what right ways to react. As we all mentioned, we're all in control of our own emotions, and unfortunately we let our emotions get the best of us a lot of times because they are our kids. So
right. Super. So, and to sort of encapsulate what you just said, I love it, was it's sort of how to respond instead of react constructively, right? To make it be a measured response instead of reacting just like they are, and to be able to do it in a way that constructively changes the dynamic and allows for better communication. So beautifully put, David. Thank you. So is there anybody else who's got a unrelated or a different issue that you want to identify? I just want to make sure that it's everybody's getting a chance to get what you want addressed this week or shared, if you wish.
Hey, Elaine, this is Tabra from Atlanta.
Hey, Tabra.
Hey, I have a kind of random and short issue, but it's just developed. When my son hyper-focuses on something physical, like, for instance, he picks his nails, but lately he's had a cold, and it's almost developed into a tic. That's why it's starting to worry me now, is that he snorts. He does this snorting thing where he just constantly snorts, and he doesn't even realize he's doing it, but it's all the time. It's very apparent to everyone around him, and there's nothing I can do about quit snorting, but how do I change something like that as a physical thing rather than negotiate around a mental thing? I mean, I just don't know what to do.
All right. Well, let's see what comes up. It's a great question, and see what you come up with as we move throughout the call.
Okay.
So it's helping to redirect a physical sort of annoyance, really, is what it sounds like. It's sort of like it distracts other people around him, right?
Yeah. He's totally oblivious that he's doing it, and that's the thing that doesn't understand.
And if we come up with a solution, my daughter's going to be really happy because my husband does it and it drives her crazy.
Okay, good.
This is Elizabeth. My son had a friend over the break that was doing that, and it just about drove me crazy.
Yeah.
Oh.
So there's a great trigger example for us.
Okay.
Any other topics that somebody wants to address today? Anybody else who's on the call? Sheila, Valerie, Joelle.
Mine are similar to everybody else's, kind of managing their own response.
All right. So let's move into the topic and really allow time for triggers. Okay. Is that good?
Mm-hmm.
Last chance to throw out a topic, or we're going to move on. Beautiful. Okay. So today's topic is managing triggers. And you know, I'm sure you've read the workbook, and it's a small section in the workbook because I think it's so familiar to all of us. We all know exactly what we mean when we talk about pushing our buttons, and, you know, nobody can push our buttons like a member of our family, and can't push anybody else's buttons any better than our own family, and we do it sometimes when we absolutely don't mean to and don't intend to, and then we do it sometimes when we know darn well that we're doing it, and we do it anyway. And it's sort of a normal human function, a normal part of the human condition. For whatever reason, we have these tendencies to become triggered and to trigger other people. And it happens most often with the people we're closest to. And I don't know whether that's because it's a safety issue or a familiarity issue. Certainly when you've been married to someone for a long time, things that used to not bother you will start to bother you and start to become triggers. And then, you know, if you've really been married a long time, eventually they'll stop being triggers again. Definitely part of our human experience.
Oh, my God.
But getting clear on what those buttons are and what's happens when they're pushed and how we can change that reactivity can make a difference. Not only for our kids in terms of not escalating their behaviors, but also for ourselves in terms of keeping that sense of calm and as David was pointing out, to constructively respond to what's happening instead of being in a reactive mode. And Diane and I talk a lot. Diane, it is a huge area of focus for her. So if you go to the site and look at some of her blogs, you'll find a lot written about this in terms of talking about triggers, but also in terms of talking about the stress cycle. So what I want to do today is just go through with you what we call escaping the stress cycle. And it's a system or a process that's been identified that's a four-step process to escape the stress cycle. So, of course, when we're dealing with triggers, the first step is to identify what triggers you in the first place.
And actually, before I go on, I want everybody just in your own space, not out loud, but writing down. Write down at least two or three things that you can identify that trigger you, whether it's in the media or in your family, just anything that you know that's like a hot-button issue for you. The top things that come to your mind as quickly as possible. So you have a sense of what triggers you in your world, right? You know, sometimes I experience parents who are triggered by what their kids do, and sometimes parents who are triggered by what their kids don't do, right? So it's not always responding to an action. Sometimes we get triggered by inaction as well. But in any event, once we're triggered, our body actually enters into a threat cycle. And literally, I call it the amygdala hijack. The frontal lobe, as you all know, is the part of our brain that sort of regulates how we think and feel and how we manage our emotions. And when our body enters into a stress cycle, the amygdala takes over, and the primitive brain takes over, I should say. And we are no longer operating from that frontal lobe. We're no longer operating from a place of ration and reason and executive function, we are in reaction mode. And in fact, if you go to the truly primitive brain, our brain starts thinking about our feet, and we go into fight or flight mode. And, or, you know, people can talk about it different ways, fight, flight, freeze, however you look at it, we're either going to stand still and fight, or we're going to run away. And both of those are a stress reaction. So the escaping the stress cycle has a four-step process. And step one is actually to recognize that you're in it in the first place. It's the awareness that comes with being aware that you are stressed, triggered, upset, whatever the language is that you want to call it. I had a therapist once years ago who used to call them upsets. I thought that was a very nice term. But so step one is to recognize that you're in it in the first place. And for us, it's about, you know, when you start to hear yourself escalate, when you start to hear yourself say something that you sort of, you know, you shouldn't be saying, but you're saying it anyway. When you feel the volume rise, when you start being not very nice, when you're pushing, when you can tell you're pushing, when somebody else is getting upset and you're still talking, right? Those are ways in which we can recognize when we're in a stress cycle, when have that awareness that we've been triggered. So just real quick, anybody want to throw out one or two ways that you can sort of, that's a sign for you that you're triggered?
This is Christina speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might start saying something sarcastic, and I know I'm saying it, and I know I shouldn't.
Perfect example. Yep. So sarcasm is a good example, because sarcasm is humor with a snarky attitude, right? And it's usually not intended to be nice. So great example. What else? Anybody have physical symptoms like you start having trouble breathing, or your face gets flushed or red?
This is David. I think mine is when there's inaction on the part of my son. When I ask him to do what I think is a very simple task to do, and a great example is cleaning up his room or the playroom or just trying to keep something semi-neat, and he does not do it, and I go in and ask again, and he's like, well, I'm playing with it. He's not, but as soon as I walk in there, he pretends like he starts playing with it.
So David, let me point you a little bit. Tell me what happens for you? How do you know that you've been triggered? What's the sign for you?
My heart rate increases, my blood pressure goes up. I get angry, I get frustrated. I mean, I know it's inside of me, and so I'll either walk away, and try to calm down, or I'll go in there and, you know, I'll try to get to engage him and help him start to clean up. I've done that before, but I end up doing most of the cleanup and he does none of it. So that's not
so,
much.
So
of
can I stop? Can I stop you for a second? I would just want to stay focused on step one is that awareness, your heart rate, your blood pressure, your sarcasm. You can feel it in your start to get angry. You're recognizing that you're tense, that there's a tension that's building inside you. So if everybody
saying,
it's about, so step one, this is really important, is to recognize that you're in it in the first place, right? So then step two is to escape or pull your body out of the stress cycle. So physiologically, to shift what's happening in your body. And you can do that by taking a deep breath. You can do that by walking away, as you say. In fact, you can actually do that by drinking water. This is one of my favorite little tidbits that I learned from Diane. Apparently, the primitive brain recognizes water as a symbol because it's almost like if you were at the watering hole as an animal and you were able to drink water, that would mean that the danger is gone and you're in a safe place. So water can actually, not tea or coffee, but water can actually restore. So sometimes, and I have taught my kids to do this, to just stop and take a sip of water and just drink for a minute. Again, deep breaths, exercise, anything to reclaim your brain and pull that stress cycle away so that you're no longer functioning from that primitive brain, but that you're getting back into that frontal lobe of your brain, right? So walking away, as you just said, David, is a great example. I used to be a yoga teacher, so for me it always starts with a deep breath. It's like a knee-jerk reaction I have as soon as I recognize I'm stressed. The first thing I do is take a deep breath, or three or five deep breaths, because sometimes it takes more than just one. So step two is to reclaim the brain. Step three is a little more complicated. It's to tell yourself a different story. So if we use the story that David just provided, that do something and he hasn't done it and you've asked him again and now he's lying on top of not doing it, pretending he's doing it and you're the one doing all the help, right? So the story you might tell yourself, David, is what? What's the message you're making up about him?
Lazy.
Right. So that's exactly it. So he's lazy and he's not, and maybe even he's lazy and he's disrespecting me.
Disrespectful and irresponsible. Yeah, all those
and irresponsible. Right. So those are all the stories you're telling yourself that are then going to refuel and feed that anger. So if you make up a new story, what else might be true? It may be true that he's lazy and disrespectful and irresponsible, right? What else might be true?
Boy, I'm about to really stretch hard on this one.
Anybody else?
I don't know. He's tired, and he's just mentally not there. And this can go even to doing homework. He needs to write spelling words. Most adults, writing 5 spelling words should take 5 minutes, whereas it can go into 30 minutes in World War III trying to get that done.
Yep.
So that's an inaction type of thing. So
okay. So bottom line it for us. So the bottom line is he could be stressed. He could be tired. He could be distracted. What else? Those are the three things I heard. Did I miss something?
Yeah, that's it. I'm trying to think of a way to change a different story, maybe put it back in his perspective of what he's thinking, I guess.
Great, perfect. So instead of he's irresponsible, lazy, and disrespectful, you can make up a new story that says he's had a long and hard day and he's overwhelmed. Right?
Yep.
So when you take on that perspective, what's possible?
Well, you see it from me through different eyes, and it may help reduce the tension and alleviate the stress in the situation.
Exactly. So step four of the four-step process is to take action based on the new story, right? So you're no longer saying, you blah, 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 kid, how could you? I just told you to. But you're going to a different place. Wow, I asked you to do this and I haven't been done yet. I bet you had a long day. Can you want some help doing it, or can we do it together? Or whatever other direction it takes you. It may be, let's not do it now. Do you want to come back and do it later? But something that comes from a place of compassion for him and his experience, instead of only being stuck in that reactive place where you start. So as soon as you take action, as soon as you create a new story, you have the ability to take a different course of action that's coming from a new story. Does this make sense to everybody?
Yes.
Okay. So again, step one is awareness. Step two is reclaim the brain, and that physiological piece is really, really critical step here. You got to get it out of the amygdala and back into the frontal lobe. Step three is to create a new story. And step four is to take action based on the new story. And I know somebody has a comment, so I'll come to it. I just want to say one more thing, and that's that not only does this work for us as parents, but this is a cycle we can teach our kids. And you can literally teach them these four steps. When a kid starts freaking out, you can really sit down and say, do you see that you're really upset right now? And help them begin to recognize and have awareness. And this is, for those of you who have minimized meltdowns, this is described in greater detail in minimized meltdowns, because it is definitely a skill that you can use with your kids as well. So what's coming up? Somebody was just about to say something. What questions or thoughts, comments?
Have you ever found yourself having to make up a new story and then make up a new story again and then again and again for the same situation in the same instance, because mm-hmm. perhaps the story you make up just gleans the same response from either you or your child or both, then what do you do?
Well, it's a great question, and I think the important thing to remember here right now is that we're not looking at necessarily changing their response yet. Right now, the first step is changing yours.
Okay.
And bringing you to a calm place of responsiveness so that you can be a rational thinker and decision maker in wherever you go. It doesn't mean they're magically going to say, sure, Dad, I'm ready to come clean my room now, right? But what's important, the first step, because getting him to clean his room may be a month-long process of teaching him a whole range of skills, or you know, but the first process is for you to be able to be calm and to feel confident and to be responsive instead of reactive.
Got it.
And that's the focus here. The only thing we're looking at with this stress cycle is getting yourself out of it. How do you get yourself out? So, yeah, if the story you make up doesn't work for you, yes, you have to make up another one. And if you had to do it to get one that works for you, you got to be able to believe it. Really have to be able to believe it. But you know, somebody used an example earlier of I think Elizabeth about responding to your son's belligerence and language, especially when he's at the computer, right? So you might go from he is so incredibly rude and disrespectful to, wow, when he's on technology, it changes. It triggers him.
Oh, yeah.
And that change of story may enable you to response in your anger. Does that make sense?
Yes. It's his life's, he considers it his life's passion, his life's work, and it's extremely important to him. Any interruptions or anything which he considers interruptions, glean that response from him. So I have to remember how frickin' important it is to him. However, I won't even go beyond that, because right now we're just focusing on me calming down.
Right. And as soon as you go to frickin' important, you're not sure you really believe it. Right? So, and that may not
right.
be the story.
I don't want to believe
because
it.
Because you don't really
I don't want to believe it.
Right.
I want other things to be important to him.
Yeah. So what's a story that would work for you?
I don't know. I have to think about that. I don't know.
Okay. So any other thoughts, Cam, that have come up? Any questions?
Hi, about, this is Cheryl.
So there's sort of two things here. It's triggers and escaping the stress cycle. Yes, Cheryl, go for it.
Hello?
Go for it, Cheryl.
That was very helpful to me just now because I've never been able to see what my daughter's going through in that situation because it's like week after week we go to church and she's running around like crazy, even though I've told her over and over and over again, right? But I think she's uncomfortable, like, or she doesn't know what to do, or she gets very sort of triggered by other girls that are bored with the activity, so they just start running around. But I'm so focused on, well, how am I going to calm her down in front of everybody else? That so that actually, that's quite an eye-opener to kind of see, okay, I think she's probably uncomfortable. Or she doesn't know what to do. She's got all this energy and doesn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
I don't know how to help her change that, though. I'll have to think
well,
about
that. Well, that's the next step. But you can't do it all at once. But, you know, one of the things, and there was, I wrote a blog on this recently. It's on the site. Is the difference between what we call level one and level two in terms of communication. Diane and I did a workshop on this at CHAD. Level one communication is when you're thinking about me. Right, and that's when we're triggered. When we're triggered, we're in a level one. I'm angry. It's about me. I'm offended. I can't handle this. You know, I was talking to a client who was saying to me, they used to be in a routine in the mornings, and now they're not, and I can't handle it. Right? So that's no longer about the child. That's about her. Right? That's level one. Level two is when you put your attention over there. What's happening with the other person? And these are the levels of listening. So when you look at what's happening with the other person and you're not looking at what I feel or think, but what they think or feel, what she or he thinks, it really enables you to make up a different story. And that's exactly what you're pointing to, Cheryl, is as soon as you can put yourself in her shoes for a moment, you can let go of a lot of that anger because it's like, oh, I get it. She's uncomfortable. That I understand. That I might even be able to do something about, right?
Mm-hmm. May I say something?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, this is Christina. When my son has been on the computer, and he's going to turn 9, I don't know how old your son is, but when he doesn't want to be disturbed and I know I have to get him off, I have been starting to tell myself that one day he's going to be so focused on something that could be very important to his job, and he won't allow himself to be distracted, and that might be a great asset to him one day, and this is not the moment to teach him. I have to come to terms. You know, I'm a musician, so technology is very, you know, not as important to me in some respects, but I'm telling myself how important it is to him and his future in the world that he's going to be in as an adult. And he might actually be able to help me very much when I won't be able to keep up with the technology.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a great reframe.
The coaching skill that we're really talking about here in terms of making up a new story is called reframing. And when we reframe something from the story that's not working for us to a story that can work for us, it opens up all sorts of possibility. And, Christina, that's a perfect example of how you can reframe so that you can handle it differently.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So
I'll put that in the processor.
Put it in the process. just remember, they're digital natives and we're digital transplants. And that's,
just on that computer
yeah.
technology piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have a couple of minutes. Anybody want to dive in a little bit deeper to this issue of triggers and see if you can look at what your it's an action moving forward on this on your challenge area. And I'll jump at once.
I will, Cheryl. I will.
Okay, Cheryl. So, you want to get more specific about? You were talking about being triggered in public. Do you want to keep focusing on this Sunday school example? Or something else?
Yes, because it's such an ongoing thing, and I feel like I've made no progress on it, and I just can't believe. I guess. That she's so uncomfortable.
So let's look at what
happens.
She gets up and starts moving around in Sunday school, and what happens for you?
Oh, my blood pressure, I can just feel it starting to rise. I can physically, I'm like, oh, my gosh. Yeah, I get that.
Okay.
I'm getting
upset. And then, right, so you get triggered and you move into, and what's the story you tend to tell yourself?
Actually, I say, what is wrong with her?
Mm-hmm.
What is she doing? Doesn't she realize that's not appropriate? You know how many times have we been over this? That's what
mm-hmm.
I say. I'm incredulous. I can't believe
you're incredulous.
Yes.
Okay. So, and then when you're incredulous, what do you tend to do in response to that?
I get angry. I get upset with her. I become charging after her.
Charging after her.
Probably. It probably comes across that way.
Okay. Okay, so now that we've lost some of the incredulousness, right? What else do you know is happening for her? You started to talk about it a minute ago.
Well, I don't know. She takes off. I can't find her. I have to go hunt her down in the rest of the building is usually what's happening.
Okay. And you started by saying, what's wrong with her?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So what's the reframe there? Because, I mean, on this call, we can't deal with reclaiming your brain, but you got to take that moment to take a deep breath, have a sip of water, do something to try to calm yourself down. Once you physiologically try to calm yourself down, right, then what? What do you want to tell yourself when you hear yourself say, what's wrong with her?
I guess I could say, okay, she's crying out for help, or she's uncomfortable, or she's bored, or she needs something, maybe.
She needs something, okay. So what's wrong with her? Oh, she needs something.
Mm-hmm.
And then what comes up for you next?
Oh, all I can think about is quieting her down, holding her down so she won't go off again.
So when you're thinking about holding her down, what's the message you're telling yourself?
I don't know.
Is it about her or about you?
Oh, it's about me, I guess, because I'm very concerned about how am I going to quiet her down in front of all these people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how am I going to not come off as super angry and yelling at her in front of all these people?
So what's important about it happening in front of all these people?
Well, it feels very wrong to let her just run off and run around like that when no one else is doing it, and it's not really supposed to be okay to do that. Because I've
it
thought about
that. It feels wrong? Okay.
It's, Yes, it feels very wrong. Like, well, none of the other kids are doing that. Why should she be allowed to do that?
So if all the other kids aren't doing it, why should she be allowed to do that? What's the message you're telling yourself about you?
Oh, probably that I'm not doing a good job of controlling her.
I'm not doing a good job controlling her. So
yeah.
Is it your job to control her?
It feels that way a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, intellectually, I guess I know that's not the case.
What is your job?
Let's see. To guide her, teach her, set a good example.
Mm-hmm. So you've said your job is to guide her and teach her and set a good example. And you've also identified she needs something. So how do you set a good example for her when you know she needs something?
Well, I could try asking her that, I guess, or, you know.
Okay.
Pulling her to the side and asking what's going on, maybe.
Okay. So, can you do that when you're triggered?
No. Not usually. Like, never, no.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I could try now, though.
So what does it take for you to calm yourself down?
Yeah, I'll have to try more of the what's in step two. I've never done the drinking water. I have tried to kind of walk away or take a deep breath.
Mm-hmm. So might I suggest more like 10 deep breaths? Quite serious. And here's the other thing for everybody. This is the yoga background from breathing. If you want to calm yourself down using the breath, then you want a longer exhale than inhale. So if you breathe in like 2 seconds, everybody try it. Breathe in 2 seconds and breathe out. Take a pause between each part. So breathe in, pause, and then breathe out like 4 seconds. Just try it. So the most important aspect of the breath, and go ahead and do it one more time. Breathe in on the count of two, pause, and breathe out on a count of four, and pause. The most important part of the breath is actually the exhale. So oftentimes I'll see it when I tell my kids, okay, take a breath for a minute. They'll go, you know, it's like, Nat, you're not going to get much from that, right? It's not going to
hyperventilate.
You'll hyperventilate, or it'll hype you up. Actually, if you have a longer inhale than exhale, it'll energize you.
Oh.
So to calm yourself down, you need a longer exhale. So, and I'll sit with my kids and go, nope, that one didn't count. You got to do another one. And trust me, they sometimes hate me for doing it. Don't get me wrong. They don't love it. But physically, I will wait until they calm down before we continue a conversation and not have the conversation when they're, you know, choking on their breath. So you're going to try some things like breathing and some drinking some water. And then
reframing.
Then reframing, right? So what else for you from this conversation, Cheryl? What do you feel like you focused on today in this call and also in this conversation? And as Cheryl is answering this, a reminder for everybody to look at your workbook on the wrap-up and answer the question, what did you learn or get clear about today? So, Cheryl, what did you get clear about today?
I got more clear about this behavior that's bothering me, and it is a trigger for me. And definitely have some steps on what to do about it now. Because I,
right.
I honestly, for a long time, I don't really think I quite realized it was a trigger for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
all right, but
silly,
recognize
but...
the trigger is half the battle.
Yeah.
It is. You know? And to recognize that part of the trigger here for you is not actually about her, it's about what other people think.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And we've talked about that in this group before, just that whole issue of, like, let's focus on what the needs are of the child and me and not try to be fulfilling everybody else's expectations while I'm in the middle of dealing with this with my child. Right? So really focusing in, as I heard you say, on what does she need? Clearly, if she's doing this, she needs something. So how can you apply this in your life right now?
Well, I want to talk with her, I think, a little bit more about it and get some of her input in. Maybe tell her some about these steps, too, that she can use.
Great. Right. And what's a realistic action step for you to take this week?
I'm not sure. What do you mean?
So, well, do you want to commit to having a conversation with her?
Oh, yes. Yes, I can do that. Yeah, I can definitely do that.
And is there anything you need to do to set yourself up for success?
Well, I'll make sure I'm calm, I guess, or that she's calm, too, when we talk about it.
Good. Okay. Beautiful. So thanks for volunteering today, Cheryl, and I hope that moves you forward with working with her. I know this has been an issue for you with her for a long time, so I hope this was helpful. Anybody else want to share what you're committing to do this week or what your aha was from today?
This is Christina. I think I'm realizing how I'm really not going to be able to teach him anything if I'm not calm. And recognizing what's happening in my body, there's not going to be a teaching moment. So I should just, that's a very big, good reason to step back and wait until I'm in a better place.
Right.
Because I'm not going to achieve anything.
Right. So, and so here's a little homework assignment I want to give to everybody. I'd like, you know, we started off and I asked everybody to write down three triggers. I'd like to ask you to write down 20.
Ooh.
Over the next week, find a little place to just keep a tally. And whenever you notice something that triggers you, write it down. Just begin to notice what are the triggers that show up for you. And it can be little things. When we start with somebody in a coaching relationship, in a one-to-one coaching, we often give them a document that's called What Am I Tolerating? And it can be anything from a squeaking door to a light bulb that hasn't been changed. You know, all sorts of things trigger us. And so when we begin to recognize what's triggering us, we're more likely to take action to change that. And as I said earlier, we can't control other people. We can only control how we respond. And if we can shift from being reactive to responsive, that will set the stage for constructive next steps. I heard a huge sigh in there.
Yeah, I
so
don't
anybody
know
else?
Paper in the world.
Well, you know, you don't need to capture absolutely every little thing, but try to capture, if it's a lot, try to capture the ones that tend to come up again and again. Like, like Tabor was talking about, when your son snorts, that's probably become a trigger, right? So the first time it may not have been, but over time it becomes one. So the things that tend to trigger you, will, as you begin to identify them, it will help you move forward. So we're about to wrap up. We're closing in on time. But anybody else, I would love to hear a few more commitments of what you're gonna, what action you're gonna take this week, or what other clarity you came to this week.
This is Christy from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And my clarity is kind of the same about being calm, where you can be constructive, not reactionary, but also that if I can remain calm, it will help move me to a more place of compassion for him. I really liked that point. And then I just want to start recognizing when I'm getting triggered and really work on the escape, reclaiming my brain. And I really like the take a drink of water thing, and I want to teach that to him as well. So to set myself up for success, I'm going to have a water bottle always in the van, because that's where a lot of his outbursts are in the car.
Cool. And it, let me add to that for you. It's pulling from the world of occupational therapy. If you have a water bottle with a sucky tap, sucking is a soothing activity as opposed to chewing, which is an organizing activity. So, like, in special needs classrooms, a lot of times that when the kids get back in from recess, they will give, they will all have water bottles with sucky tops to help them begin to calm themselves.
I bought him stainless steel straws so I can clean them and he can reuse them all the time.
Great. Perfect. And the Camelback, that sucky thing, is are really good too.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? Any other commitments for the week?
It's Elizabeth, and I just think this is timely for me because I've been working on this in therapy for myself, and I've been saying to my therapist quite often that things happen so fast, I get angry so fast that I didn't even see it coming. It's like a flash of white light, and so I have been. I need to work on my just the awareness of what's happening physiologically for me. And so that's what I'm going to focus on.
The physiological, just recognizing that when you're physically triggered.
Exactly. Physically,
beautiful.
Mentally, any kind of trigger.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what I hope you'll take is to recognize that when you've got a mental trigger, there's something physical that's happening.
Yeah.
Right. We don't realize that our brain has shifted, but we have to get it back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anybody else? Can't hold you accountable if you don't share your commitment. But you can hold yourself accountable. Okay. So great to have everybody, and thanks for the participation. Any other questions, comments, or anything else before we close for the day?
Thank you.
Pleasure, truly.
It was a pleasure joining this group. I'm usually on Tuesdays, and this is a great group, so thanks, everyone.
Glad to have you here, Elizabeth. Thanks. And Christina, welcome to PSS. I hope it was not an overwhelming first call for you.
Oh, not at all. Actually, I'm ready for this. So it was really a great group and a great topic.
Perfect. Cool. All right, have a super couple of weeks, everyone. I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Let me know if you need anything. Yes. Call me online and email me if you need it. And just a reminder to go back to the forum and start posting and connecting and sharing what's working and what's not. And I don't know if anybody else has taken up my challenge, but I'm still working on the 20 minutes a day of movement and one shelf or drawer a day of cleanup. And I'm eager to have other people be accountable and play this game with me.
Great.
Great.
I'm with you on the movement one, definitely.
So it's
me too.
It's on the forum. Keep posting on it. Let's keep it live.
And when you say forum, you're talking about the Facebook page, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. All right. Take care, everybody. Talk to you all next week.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.